Novus, the new voice. Vox Novus, the new dimension. Vox Novus, thought and movement leaders who will share from their experience and offer tools to help us navigate our rapidly changing world. My name is Victor Furman. Welcome to Vox Novus, the new voice. The year 2020 was unprecedented in so many ways. As 2021 marches forward, we reflect on the lessons and lifestyle changes associated with COVID-19 that helped us to reevaluate what is important and what is not. For many, it afforded the opportunity to become more mindful and employ ancient tools that enhanced mindfulness, such as meditation, journaling, and other forms of relaxation. Are there new tools that combine ancient wisdom with modern technology to afford a deeper state of presence and healing on all levels of mind, body, and spirit? My guest this week on Vox Novus, Dr. Patrick Porter, says we may brain tap and achieve this. Dr. Porter is an award-winning scientist who has devoted his career to mental health and researching the brain. Dr. Porter's contributions to functional neuroscience are paving the way for brainwave entrainment, a new enhanced meditation practice that brings mindfulness to the next level. He is the recipient of the 2011 Lifetime Achievement Award from the Interdisciplinary Association of Functional Neurosciences and Rehabilitation. As the creator of BrainTap, Dr. Porter has emerged as a leader in the digital health and wellness field. BrainTap's digital tools and mind development apps use proprietary algorithms that have made tremendous advances in mastering peak performance and bettering mental, physical, and emotional health. BrainTap has been praised for helping people improve mental clarity, sleep quality, and energy levels. His website is braintap.com, and he joins us this week to discuss his path, experience, and creation. Please welcome to Vox Novus Dr. Patrick Porter. Welcome, Dr. Porter.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for having me here.
Dr. Porter, your bio shares that the seeds of BrainTap came from what your father shared with you and your siblings growing up. Please share your early path into the mysteries of the brain.
Well, my father was a chronic alcoholic. I mean, he tried everything to stop. And when the church elders came over, actually one of the priests and nuns came over and said, "Hey, Michael, we're going to teach you how to do technology-driven meditation." My dad actually stopped drinking. And he still continued to go to AA for support, but he found out that he needed to relax. And he thought, well, if it's good enough for me, it's good enough for the 9 children that I brought into the world. And so we would get together on a daily basis and we would practice this meditation with him. And it really changed the way I thought. I was a very negative kid. I mean, I was held back in second grade. I thought everybody was against me. And it shifted the whole way that I thought about it as soon as I could get my body to relax. I didn't realize as a kid what stress was or how that felt, but when you have a dysfunctional family, it shows up in many ways. For me, it showed up as being a troublemaker. But as soon as I realized I could get up in the morning, focus my attention, even at an early age of being 12 years old, I started to refocus myself and using affirmations, and it changed the way my brain functioned. I became an honor roll student, a 3-sport captain, got a scholarship. I mean, everything changed, and I can go right back to learning how to meditate the way that my father taught me.
And how old were you when you had that first experience with your dad?
I was about 11 years old and started actually recording my own sessions at 12.
Hmm. That's wonderful. So prior to the creation of BrainTap, what was your work focused upon?
Well, I went to school first for electronics. So when people say, why do you have this technology in here? I was one of those kids that liked ham radios, CBs. I grew up, you know, if there was such a thing as a geek back when I went to school, that would have been it. But I was also into sports. So I was kind of an anomaly because I went to school for electronics. And then, but I kept helping my father with his seminar business. He actually went from being in the program of this meditation to actually leading. It was called the Silva Method, and he became an instructor. So I was doing that with him part-time. And then that led me to working with the Arizona Health Council, where I worked with suicidal teens and pregnant teens. And I did that for a couple of years and realized that even though it was fulfilling, I really loved helping people doing something similar to this. And I worked for a company called Light and Sound Research, and we developed the very first portable light and sound machine back in 1986.
Wonderful. What did that do?
Well, it's really the predecessor to BrainTap in that it used light and sound. The EEPROM chip just came out, which is a programmable microchip that we could actually make. So we're one of those stories where in the back room, we're building these devices and selling them at the front door, you know, and it all started that way. And it basically used light and sound, but it only used two of the algorithms that we have today. So we've been enhancing it since then. So this was an early device that we did.
And the combination of light and sound produces what type of effect?
Well, there's something in physics called entrainment. This happens with everything. It could happen from nature to things that are, everything in the known universe is vibrating and oscillating. So when two things are close together, it works like a tuning fork. And if one tuning fork starts that vibratory frequency, if there's a fork next to it, it will start to vibrate and at that rhythm and cadence. So what it's doing is it's balancing the brain, helping the person get into a state very much like meditation, although it's, some people would argue it's not meditation because you don't have to do anything. The process does it for you, but you're in the physiological state of meditation, which helps you with focus, concentration. And when we talk about brain entrainment, as we get older, what happens is there's certain brainwave frequencies that tend to become less responsive. And the one that's most important is called SMR, sensory motor rhythms. It has to do with your vestibular system. So one of the things BrainTap does, it helps you with balance and focus. And when we work with the elderly for dementia, we find that it helps with focus, concentration, and memory. So we have a lot of different, over the years, we've worked with autistic children all the way up to autism. We work with sports and professional athletes. We have a program going right now for Olympic athletes. We're doing a research project for concussions because we show that we can help the brain to rehabilitate after a concussive experience.
And would that also be effective for those who play football?
Oh, yes, very much so.
So yeah. Anyone in sports, anyone who sustains any type of impact to the head, to the cranium, would benefit mm-hmm. from this program.
Yes.
All of those experiences that you had as a child with your dad, then working with your dad in terms of those, the Silva method and the different seminars and helping people, what led to the modern BrainTap?
Well, what happened was I had a company that I ran for a number of years, a franchise company, and in 2002, actually, I sold part of that company. Then in 2006, they bought me out, and I was on my own, really doing my own thing. And then in 2013, that company decided to shut their doors. And of course, it was my life's work, so I picked it back up. And I thought, now I get a chance to do what I always wanted to do. You know, when you get complacent, we had the same light and sound machine for over 25 years, no changes to it. It works so well, you know, it's one of those things where you're just using it. So then I got to make a shift. And what's happening now in neuroscience, we have so much more technology today to measure the brain, what's going on with the brain, how is the brain changing, that we're able to introduce things like the lights in the ears, frequency response, meaning there's solfeggio frequencies, there's Noget frequencies, all these different frequencies the body responds to. We can now measure them through things like heart rate variability, EEG machines, HRV. All of these different tools help us to understand how the nervous system is functioning. And because 70% of your nervous system exists in your brain, that's why the connection is there. So we're working with the brain, and it translates down into the body.
You started talking a little bit about brainwave entrainment. Let's talk a little more about that. What are the various waves that we're looking at here?
Well, there's four primary ones that people talk about. And now, thanks to MIT, we're gamma is in, now in the conversation, which is the fifth one. I mentioned SMR, which is a subset. There's actually, we could go into really minute detail, but the four primary ones are beta, where we're speaking right now. This we call the reactionary mind. It's where most people hang out, but it's also the one that gets us into most trouble because when we get locked into that what we call beta brain. That's when you get that that chronic low-level stress, and you don't even know it. It's like being stuck in second gear, and you can't downshift, you can't upshift, you're just kind of there, and it becomes very stressful, and it's bad for the body. We need to flow between these different brainwave states, and in reality, all of them need to be operating at one time. The next one is called alpha. Alpha is a creative state. That's where you go when you're doing something that you love, or like a hobby, or you're with people that you love, because it's one of those timeless places. We call this the intuitive mind. So it's that place where you get intuitive information from your subconscious. And then there's a state called theta. Theta is that threshold just before sleep. That's the one that most adults are missing. That's why 1/3 of the American population isn't sleeping. And that's really harmful for the brain, because if you don't sleep, your brain doesn't detox. There's evidence from 2016 in American Scientific where they talked about glial lymphomic cells, which are the lymph system of the brain that only opens up when you're in deep level 4 sleep. So if you're not sleeping well, your brain's not detoxing. And that can contribute to all of these different things, from memory loss to brain fog to dementia. We need to get people sleeping better. And then, of course, there's delta, which most people associate with deep sleep and rejuvenation. But we flow in and out of these brain states all the time. And then gamma, what I talked about, gamma now, they're liking that to a bass drum in a band, that we all have this gamma frequency in our brain that kind of keeps the rhythm and cadence of brain function. But what they're finding is as we get older, unfortunately, gamma starts to diminish, and then amyloid plaque is more prevalent in the brain. And they found that if you are experiencing this 40 hertz frequency, whether through light and sound or one or the other, that it can affect and break down this amyloid plaque. So brain science is coming to a new level, because obviously we all have brains, and we're all getting older. So people are trying to figure out, hey, how can we keep our brain functioning at its highest level? And they're associating that with, think of each of these brainwave functions like Wi-Fi networks in our system. They tell our body what to do. Just in general, for the listeners, if you're an alpha, for instance, when you're having a great time, your brain is being programmed, or your brain is instructing your gut, which your gut makes your neurotransmitters. It starts to make more acetylcholine, which makes you feel good. And then when you're in theta, it makes more GABA, which helps you to sleep deeper. So each of these frequencies actually tell the body what to do. And if they're out of balance, then we're not making the right neurochemicals that we need.
So in essence, beta waves are like what they call in Eastern meditation, monkey mind, where you're just jumping around and reacting all the time.
Exactly. Yeah. A lot of people think that that's the mind that controls the show, but science is showing us that it only controls 5% of our reality. So our subconscious is controlling the rest. That would be those other brainwave states. Because, you know, we're not really controlling our heart, although we can think stressful thoughts and get our heart to beat faster, or we can work out and make it beat faster. But most of the time, it's being controlled by that other than conscious part of our mind.
And in essence, all of this is about traveling to the beat of a different drum.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. In fact, drum circles, when you bring that up, drum circles are a great way for people to experience the synchronizing brain states that we talk about. Because if you've ever been to these kind of drum circles, I always say that there's always ancient methodology that has been translated into modern day science. And really, some of the brainwave entrainment works the same way as a drum circle. I mean, you can go on YouTube and actually put in synchronizing metronomes. And what happens is you'll see how even they don't know why this works in physics, but our universe is always synchronizing. It's trying to. It's either going in or out of it, of synchronization. But you see in this video where they set up 200 of these metronomes. They start them all at different times, and then within 4 minutes they synchronize. Mm-hmm. Well, we found that to be true also with the brain. Mm-hmm. Our brain has two hemispheres. And the biggest problem people have as we get better looking and more intelligent with age, certain things happen to us. One is that our left hemisphere slows down before our right hemisphere. So we showed that within 6 weeks of using BrainTap, you can resynchronize those. But it was such a profound discovery for us that we started every session with BrainTap with the synchronization of at least 4 minutes, because we found it took about 4 minutes for the hemispheres of the brain to synchronize. And then we found out, somebody said, well, you know what? They do this on the internet through the metronomes. So it's something that's happening out there in the our physical world without us really realizing it or knowing about it.
Is this related all to what's been called Schumann's resonance?
The Schumann residence, yeah. I jokingly tell people, if you're on my spaceship and we're flying to Earth, the Earth has a frequency response of 0.01 to 100. And the mountains have a 7.8 hertz frequency response, which they call the Schumann frequency. It's the frequency of the planet. If we were to average it all out, that's what the planet would resonate at. And some people are saying that's speeding up, but it's wherever you're at of the planet, you different places on the globe resonate at different frequencies. Like a violent eruption of a volcano would be around 100. So there's different ones as we travel around the world, and the different activities that are happening on the planet.
But is it good for us to be in tune with that bass resonance?
Oh yes, yeah. There's so many different studies that show just being in harmony, that alpha theta, and that happens to be theta. So when you're in the Earth frequency, and some people do this just by walking out and getting their bare feet on the Earth, they call this earthing.
Earthing, yeah.
And we've actually measured it with voltohmmeters, because we all carry energy in our body, and it can be measured, the resistance. And when we're in our homes and we're getting bombarded by our Wi-Fi and all of that, we're actually collecting energy. Our body actually collects energy from sound and light all the time in frequency. It's converting that into energy all the time. I tell people, if you don't believe me, just go to a party at one time when you don't really want to be there, but they start playing music from your youth, and you start tapping your toes, and you start getting into the it, your brain actually converts that music into energy that you can now use. It actually creates ATP, or the currency of the body for transacting information or energy. And we're doing that all the time. So the Earth has a frequency, and this Schumann frequency happens to be one of the most healing. In fact, in science, they would call it the parasympathetic system. That's the heal, digest, rest, state of consciousness, which is very good. I mean, if we could get people in that frequency when they're healing, like after surgeries, they've actually shown that they accelerate that healing. It happens quicker at that pace. When you're in a beta state or stressed out state, that's why I don't understand in the hospitals. I've been in them, I'm sure you have too, where you're trying to rest, and every 2 hours somebody's coming and poking and prodding you, waking you up from your sleep, when that's what's going to heal you. So it's kind of counterproductive there when they do that.
Is there an effort being made to correct that within hospitals?
The two hospitals that we're working with, St. Francis Hospitals in Indianapolis, we started using the BrainTap process in there, and we recommended that they leave it up to the patient, and they're following it along as much as we know. But I think there should be. I think they're going to find more and more that letting people relax, and unless they're in a critical state, you shouldn't be in there waking them up.
All of these healing processes come under the science of neuroplasticity. What is neuroplasticity?
Okay, so there's Hebb's law states that those neurons that fire together wire together. And as we grow up, these networks of neurons continue to perform their function. So think of them as circuits. When we learn to speak, we have a circuit for speaking. Actually, we have a circuit for learning how to speak, right? When we see a little child, like my grandkids, when they started speaking, I was amazed. One day they're babbling, the next minute it seems like they're talking in full sentences and understanding everything. Well, then at about 7 years old, unless you learn a second language, that circuit shuts down. So if you know somebody like our science officer, Dr. Sidral, he speaks six languages. He traveled through India with me for 3 weeks. At the end of the 3 weeks, he's speaking Hindi. Nobody taught him how to speak Hindi. But his brain circuit was still open like a child, because it never shut down. That's neuroplasticity. So in his case, that circuit stayed up. But the brain is an energy hog. So it uses 25% of the energy of the system. So it's always trying to shut things down. That's why as we age, if we don't use our brain, we lose it. So that's why we have to keep challenging our brain and getting it to work better. So neuroplasticity represents how many neurons we have firing at any one time. And I'll tell you a little story. One of our research projects that's now moved on to the next level, where we're seeing 50 people. This is in Florida at Seminole College. We took five women. They were 55, 65 years old. They were all diagnosed with dementia. We did a brain scan on them. They all had left hemispheres that were moving slower than the right. They did the cognitive skills test. They had dementia. Their doctor had diagnosed them with dementia. In 6 weeks later, after using BrainTap three times a day, They went back to their doctor. He said, I wish I wouldn't have diagnosed you 6 weeks ago because you're not showing those symptoms anymore. But they're diagnosed. So in the medical world, you can't fix that. But in the reality is that when we measured their energy in the brain, nobody knows how to measure a single neuron. That would be, I'm sure they'll at some point get to that point. But what they do is they have an algorithm that measures the energy signature of the brain. And the more energy in the brain, they know the more neurons we have. So neuroplasticity means that we can change the brain's configuration. We can get it to operate better. What happened to these women in 6 weeks, and why we have a bigger study going on now, is that they had 49% more neuroplasticity. That's what we have when we're a child. So when we think about as children, we're actually fully connected. We actually unplug our brain as we age. We don't build our brain like people think. It happens totally different. Our brain is totally connected. And as we do things repetitively, the brain unplugs itself to get those circuits to in place. Once those circuits are in place, they used to think it was fixed. Like if, for instance, you're here interviewing me, so you have an interviewer's brain, let's say, or a writer's brain. And then there's other people that might have a athletic brain or, you know, something like that. And those two don't cross over. But the reality is now they know that anyone can learn anything if properly motivated, and the brain can change. That just because you might be what they might call a kinesthetic or a feeling type learner, and somebody else might be a visual learner, you can cross train them and get their brain to operate. That's what we mean by neuroplasticity, is that the neurons are plastic. They are flexible, they can change. And that's really the bottom line to brainwave entrainment, is that we can train the brain to fire these neurons at different points to get different results and help, and especially for learning. We learn better in the alpha theta state than we do in beta. So that's part of the process here.
That's absolutely fascinating. My guest is Dr. Patrick Porter. He's the creator of BrainTap. Dr. Porter, please tell our listeners how they can find out more about you and this amazing work.
Well, the easiest place they can go is they can go to braintap.com. If they'd like to try out the technology, you can do it with just your phone at braintap.pro. And for 99 cents, they can get a copy of my latest book, Thrive and Overdrive, and they get 15 days on the app with that. So they can try it all out there for 99 cents.
And we'll be back with more of Dr. Porter after these words on the Olden Times Radio Network.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times. Co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
Know that feeling? Like every door is closing and you just can't see a way out? Being unemployed, underemployed, or just out of school can feel like that. But when you find the right tools, suddenly everything just clicks. FindSomethingNew.org offers resources that help develop new skills. Skills that can position you for careers in today's growing industries, from healthcare and manufacturing to cybersecurity and alternative energy. Find your path to a new career at FindSomethingNew.org. A message from the Ad Council.
Back on Vox Novus, my guest this week is Dr. Patrick Porter. He's the creator of BrainTap. Dr. Porter, why is BrainTap so especially important now?
Well, I think now it's so important because people want the benefits of meditating, but they don't have the time to meditate. Everyone thinks it takes 30 years in the mountains with a guru or something like that. And the reality is with technology, we can do that because technology is actually stressing us out. I mean, when we first got our cell phones, everybody thought this was going to be great, right? And it is great. But now I don't have a day off. You know, right? I mean, people who have my number can call me at any time. It used to be when you left work, basically you left work. I mean, the next day you'd go back and check out your answering machine, see who called you. But now it follows you. So there's a lot of different stressors out there. And I think everyone's talking about uptime, and especially in America, you know, we're always wanting to achieve, conquer. And you know, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But just like a professional athlete or an Olympian that we work with, we find that their training is okay, but their recovery is terrible. So people need to learn to recover. They need to learn to balance out their physical strain and mental strain and emotional strain, even spiritual strain people have today. I mean, they're not even able to go to church right now, you know, in certain places. So, they have to find their own way. So this is something I think people need to have a practice of de-stressing their nervous system. In the same way we reboot our computers. I mean, could you imagine just keeping your computer on all the time and never clearing out the cache and never rebooting it? I mean, people do that all day long. We need to think about that with our own consciousness. We need to take time to reboot.
What does more than a year of pandemic stress do to our health on all levels?
Well, there's so many ways that it's damaging our nervous system. One, in our immune system, there's something called psychoimmunology, which means our psychology affects the way our immune system functions. We want to connect, right? I mean, we can connect so much through our social media networks and things like that, but we want physical connection. So that's harming us in some ways. But this chronic low-level stress was already happening in the world. I mean, people felt this rumbling stress. And now it's just escalated because fear. I mean, when you walk outside the house, now we don't know if our neighbor's going to give us coronavirus or if we're going to pick it up off the shelves at the grocery store whatever your belief is about it, it's still going to be there. It's going to be the top of your mind awareness. And, you know, that's going to put a damper on how your immune system works. I don't know if you know Dr. Emoto's work. He wrote the book, The Secret Life of Water.
Yes.
It's an awesome book. And for my own personal podcast, I just interviewed his research scientist because I knew Dr. Emoto when he was alive. And he said that the coronavirus, he shows these crystals and how when water crystals form, when you think certain thoughts, like when you think of joy and compassion and these positive statements, love, they make these beautiful crystalline structures. But if you think hate or fear, it makes these horrific, almost demonic looking structures. And what was interesting to me was they took coronavirus. And of course, it looked kind of nasty. But when you put coronavirus with fear, it was terrible. I mean, it looked like the most demonic thing you've ever seen. So what's going on out there in most cases is a lot of fear mongering out there about it. And that's affecting people. We're 70 to 80% water, depending upon the book you read. Now, what they showed was when you put compassion or love or acceptance with that same print of COVID, it neutralized it. It actually neutralized it. So that's what I'm saying. People can neutralize this. We have such a powerful immune system. We have powerful thoughts that we can think all day long, and we can raise our, if you want to call it, vibratory frequency. You know, there's a reason. There's a friend of mine, too. They call him the Iceman. And Wim Hof, he does this breathing exercise, and they've actually injected him with poisons. And if he does this breathing technique, he neutralizes those poisons in his system. So our bodies are, you know, incredibly made. We have an innate intelligence that really helps us do something. But if people are so locked into the fear or locked into the frustration or the anxiety, I mean, people are losing their jobs, they're self-contained, they're self-quarantining, I mean, that's dampening our immunity, really, and that hurts our stress response. So we need to, in order for our body to thrive and our minds to thrive, we need to be challenged. So we need to get the best thing they can do right now is start some kind of practice of meditation to relax. They can do that as simply as turning on some classical music. You know, there's something called the Mozart effect. which shows that you can entrain the brain with just music alone, 10 cycle music. So this music, you can get it free on YouTube if they can't afford anything, and just sit down and listen to that, work through that monkey mind. Those thoughts aren't that, you have to work through that chatter, as you talked about earlier, that people have sometimes when they're in beta, but eventually that will clear out and you'll find that inner center, that inner peace. And of course, that's what we're designing. Once you have that, we possess inside of us the most powerful pharmacy on earth. Our brain can release 30,000 different neurochemicals if we're in the right physiological state. But if we're in a state of fear, frustration, and anxiety, that's at high beta, we're going to create that cortisol and those other stress hormones. And all you have to do is look to nature. If we look to salmon, every year the salmon have to swim upstream. You know, they have this initiative to go fertilize the seeds where they were born, right? So, but they die within 2 hours of doing that. And that's because the whole fight all the way upstream, just to get back to that one place, drop off their, you know, fertilize those seeds, their job's done, and they die within 2 hours. And that's because of cortisol in their system. So people are experiencing these stress hormones, these stressors, without any break in the action. So it's almost like everybody's training for the Olympics, but nobody's taking time to recover.
Absolutely.
So we have to have this time to recover. And there's so many ways now that we can do it. I mean, technology and the internet has provided us some ways. I mean, obviously, it'd be best to get out there with other people. But if you can't, you can get onto the internet and find some really good free resources.
You talked about the importance in technology, taking a computer, clearing the cache, rebooting the system. And we're talking about some ways that we can sort of reboot our brains after this year of COVID anxiety and stress. What are some of the other techniques that we can use?
Well, one thing is that you should be turning off the lights at night. How you prepare for sleep is so important because sleep is such a key ingredient to our health and vitality of our system. But what's happened during COVID is people start binge watching television. Before they know it, it's 1 or 2 in the evening. They roll out of bed in the morning without getting dressed and they just start their job. So the first step is start turning off the lights in your home. Turn off your television at least an hour before you go to bed, do something else to unwind so that when you get into bed, you're ready for bed. Some people will go right from watching television right to sleep, and their brain is in this high beta state, and they're not able to make the transition into deep sleep. The other thing I recommend people do is learn to wake up without your alarm clock. When you use your alarm, you have set up something called anticipatory stress. So imagine you told yourself at night you're going to wake up at 7 o'clock in the morning or 6 o'clock in the morning. So you set this obnoxiously loud alarm, or get an alarm. They have alarms that actually wake you up with light. There are, you know, that slowly bring the light in the room up. So your body is waking up the way that we used to wake up during ancient times. You know, they didn't have alarms. I mean, of course, the farmers might have had roosters, but I've had roosters and they do that all day long, not just in the morning. So, and all night long too, for that matter. So in the process, we need to get back, because that anticipatory stress, if you wake up first thing in the morning to a loud, obnoxious sound of the alarm clock, you just basically lit up your nervous system, put it into fight or flight. And then depending upon how healthy you are and how healthy your nervous system is, you're able to rebalance and get back into that neutral state again. But if you picked up your phone right away, so we also recommend that you don't look at your phone for the first 45 minutes to an hour. Let your body reacclimate to the day. You know, wake up to the day. Drink some water first thing in the morning. Get the body going. Do some stretching, some exercises. Do something to move your body. Get outside. One of the best things, we talked about this earlier in the call, get outside and ground yourself if possible. These are all things that are super important to get your body acclimated. And if you're working from home, get up and dress as if you're going to work. Because the brain, it needs to know that your home life isn't your work life. Right now, a lot of people, it's so confusing. They basically open up their laptop on their couch, the same place they were just watching their movie last night. They need to set up a place where they work from home, where it's actually a work environment. And if people are studying from home, I also recommend that you set up a place where they study, where it's not in front of their television, you know, different things, because we all know now that multitasking isn't really multitasking. It's doing two things poorly. So we need to do one thing very well. And if they follow just those simple steps, they're going to find that they're going to have more vitality. They're going to feel better. And in the middle of the afternoon, we are predetermined to take a nap, but most people don't. So we do, of course, with BrainTap, we found that we can reclaim about 80% of the energy of the system if you do a 20-minute session in the middle of the afternoon. Now, there's a physiological reason that we get tired in the afternoon. It's not just because it's tea time or it's time to have a coffee. It's because at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, we have a drop in temperature. Everybody does. Wherever you're at around the world at 2 o'clock or around that time, it drops. Just like at 3:30 every morning at night, 3:30 a.m., everyone has there's a uptick. Your body is actually recalibrating for the next day. That's why a lot of people will wake up around 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning, and they think that it's a bad thing, but they're just waking up. They're not able to go back to sleep because of the stress that they're experiencing. So we have to be biologically active with the clock that we have, which is our sun. You know, just to put it in perspective, people might be thinking, well, I don't know about that. Well, one simple example is science has shown that if you don't get to sleep between 10 and 2 o'clock at night, you don't make as much melatonin. And the closer to 10 o'clock you go to sleep, the more melatonin you'll make. So the body actually is triggered from the light from the sun, because light is the most underprescribed nutrient on earth right now. We're inside our houses. We drive our cars. We don't get out as much. Our bodies are designed to be outside 14 to 18 hours a day. But, you know, I don't know too many people that do that unless you're, you know, you're out there, you have a job that puts you outside.
And how may we generate more melatonin, especially being indoors these days?
Well, of course, we do it through light therapy. You can actually do it because melatonin is that when you start to rest and relax, any meditation is going to uptake your melatonin. Stress is one of the things that blocks it. So anything you can do that can de-stress will get that balance. Melatonin isn't just in the brain either. Melatonin's throughout the whole body. Every cell of your body actually responds to melatonin and what's happening. So anything you can do to de-stress the body is going to help you to produce the adequate amount of melatonin that you need.
What are some try-at-home mindfulness and mental health hacks that we all may engage in?
Well, one that I mentioned already is get some classical baroque music or some new age kind of music that doesn't have words in it. Or if you listen to something that has like some maybe spiritual chants or something like that, that would be fine too. But something that's going to, music can take us out of ourselves. So we can put that on in the background and just breathe. There's two different breathing exercises I typically teach people because they're simple. One is you breathe into the mental count of four, and then you breathe out to the mental count of eight, and you connect that breath. It's important that there's not a space in this breath. What happens is when we breathe in, we actually trigger that fight or flight response. So that's okay, but it's only for 4 seconds. And then we breathe out for eight. That actually is triggering our parasympathetic or our fight or our rest, digest, and relax, what I call our thriving brain, when you breathe out. Now, you can do that. That's one way. Or there's another breath because you want to switch it up a little bit. The way neuroplasticity works is we can't do the same thing all the time. So you need to have a few different practices. It's like going to the gym. If you do the same exercise all the time, the muscles get fatigued and there's no more growth there. So that's why you have to change it up. One day you do arms, the next day you do legs and things like that. But within the brain, what you can do with this next breathing exercise, they call it box breathing. And this one's pretty easy. And I actually tell people, if you're driving like to and from work, this is one of the exercises I would give my clients, is that when you're at a stoplight, pick one of these breaths for the day and do it during that 3 minutes of sitting at the stoplight. But in the box breathing is very simple. You breathe into the mental count of four, you hold that breath for the mental count of four, and you breathe out to the mental count of four. And then with the breath out, you hold it out for the mental count of four, and you just kind of continue that box breathing. And if you could get up to doing either of these breaths for 5 to 10 minutes a day, you will have a profound effect on your well-being. It's tremendous. Now, the next thing that I recommend they do at home is if they don't know yoga or dance, one of the things when we test people, the people with the best nervous systems, which means their best brain function, is people who do yoga, people who do dance, like a ballroom dancing, and people that do martial arts. So if you can choose one of those three, if you can't do either of those, then get out and walk. Mm. Now, walking is one of the best brain hacks. There's actually been many books written over the last 10 years now that show when people get strokes, you know, they'll have something happens where they get something, you know, they get a stroke experience. And then after that, they become super healthy and their brain function returns to normal. That's because when we walk, we're actually engaging both hemispheres. So exercise is a really strong way that we can do it. The other is, as weird as it sounds, for your health, you should be drinking half your body's weight in ounces of water. And it should be good water, depending upon where you live. If you're drinking out of your tap, you really need to let that tap water set, like for 8 hours, to let the all the stuff outgas that they put in the water so it's not poisonous. But if you, because there's fluoride in there and all sorts of other things that are bad for the brain, but they'll gas off. You know, that's why if you pour a glass of water and it smells like a swimming pool, you shouldn't be drinking it. You wouldn't drink water out of your swimming pool, but it's there so you don't get contaminated water, but it'll outgas. And so if you have a pitcher of water, you put it in your refrigerator and then, you know, a little later drink it, it's probably going to be fine. If you can drink good, clean water, like a good filter, I recommend that too, is one of the things you can do, because a lot of people out there, a lot of the problems they're having, especially mental disorders, they have tied back to dehydration. And I must tell the listeners that drinking soda or drinking coffee, black tea, doesn't mean you're drinking water. You can drink herbal teas. A lot of the herbal teas, they say, can be used just like water, but our body needs water. And there's actually a really good book called Your Body's Many Cries for Water. And if somebody's suffering from depression or anxiety and those things, that's one of our first things at the clinic we have people go do.
My guest is Dr. Patrick Porter. He's the inventor of BrainTap. We'll be back with more of Patrick after these words on the Om Times Radio Network.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
A social distancing tip.
Putting distance between yourself and others is critical to slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are ways to stay in contact without the physical contact part. Call, send a text, set up a video conference, post on social media, dedicate a song on the radio. If you have symptoms of fever, dry cough, and shortness of breath, call your healthcare provider before going to their office. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Back on Vox Novus, my guest this week is Dr. Patrick Porter, the creator of BrainTap. One of the negative impacts of stress is that it diminishes productivity. How may we stay productive while we're stressed?
Well, I think the biggest thing is to notice when you're stressed. I mean, that's a sign that you need to take a brain break. You know, and it could be as simple as just going out doing one of those breathing exercises out in the yard or something to do it, or go get a glass of water. Get away from whatever you're doing. If you keep pushing through the stress, you know, there's the old saying about sharpening the saw that's in the Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, and where he talks about you got to have this time to work on yourself a little bit. But to stay productive, I would schedule time. We do it with all of our clinics. We tell staff, when you get to that point where you know you're stressed. You can tell because you're usually sitting there like the spinning wheel on your computer, but you're sitting there spinning in your mind. You know, you don't know what to do next. You have so much to do, you don't know what to do. That's a signal that you need to take 10 minutes and go do some mindfulness training. Go do something that clears your mind, relax. Don't worry about getting anything done. But the other thing is to schedule. For stress right now, if you're used to sitting there with your phone and every time you get a text message, every time you get an email, you're answering it right away, that's very stressful. In fact, that kills creativity. It kills productivity. I would schedule time to do those things. Like in my case, I have two times a day where I check my email. And people know that. You know, they know when there's, if something really critical, they'll text me because at the top of every hour, I go and check my text messages. And if there's something that I really need to act on, I will do it. I'm not going to respond every moment. But we live in a society right now of instant gratification, right? You send a text message, you think the other person has nothing to do, they should just answer you. Well, they think the same thing about you. And those are very stressful. So figure out if technology is driving your heightened stress. You can do something about that. Now, if it's something in your life that's happening, one of the things that you can do is really clean up your environment that you work at. There's something out there called feng shui, which is the art of placement and energy. They call it qi, right? That flows through it flows through your whole body and through your own home, through everything that all living things emit this energy. It's not just on the force with Star Wars and things like that. So this energy is there, but if we're working in a place that is not, let's say, orderly, it will affect the way that we handle that and we'll become stressed about that. So I don't mean you don't have to be, so anal about it that you've alphabetized your counter space and things like that. But you really need to have a clean space that you work on and a place where you can do, when you're doing certain things, you should have a place for everything. Don't try to do everything in one place. There's something in our mind called anchoring, right? In my case, I grew up Catholic. So when I smell frankincense, I think of the Catholic Church, right? Because the Stations of the Cross and things like that. And when I go to India and they're burning champa or something like that, and I go into one of the ashrams or something like that, I think of, going back to those kind of experiences. So you can also set up your environment with certain sense frequencies. Some people use essential oils to do that. There are ones that can cause you to relax, like I just mentioned, frankincense. That's a good one for the brain to get you to de-stress. But some people like using lavender. Those are really good ways to make it more productive and calm you down. When we teach people to go through stress-free childbirth, we have them pick out a scent that they have so that when they start feeling the stress of childbirth, they just smell that scent and it relaxes them. So I tell people, condition yourself by when you do your mindfulness practice, have that smell or that scent that you're going to use to de-stress. So you have an anchor that's a positive anchor, you know, that's going to cause you to de-stress. No, those are a few things. I mean, there's a lot of ways that you can do it. The main thing is to really budget your time. Figure out what you really want to accomplish and be honest with yourself. Don't make a to-do list that an army of 500 couldn't complete in a day, you know. Put the things down that you really think you can do and then go after those things and really celebrate your victories. Don't celebrate or don't beat yourself up because you didn't get five of the things done. Celebrate the five that you did get done if you had 10 on the list.
Absolutely. How may we use mindfulness to enhance both our professional and personal relationships?
Well, the main thing is that we tend to project onto others either what we like or dislike about ourselves. So if we start to, in the mindfulness practice, a lot of it is, you know, turning inside, figuring out what is it, what's coming through. I always tell people, it's not what happens to you, it's what happens through you. You know, so what are you sensing and feeling? Are you projecting things onto other people? I find that when you start to love, appreciate, and honor yourself, you'll find that those relationships will be attracted to you. If you still hold a lot of animosity, I tell people, if you could hear what you say to yourself, if somebody else said that to you, you wouldn't allow them in your space. But a lot of people are beating themselves up. So one thing about mindfulness is when you start picturing things, you start visualizing in this mindfulness space, whatever thoughts come in, you let them pass through. And if there's a negative thought, you can start changing that, especially about relationships. And you know, a good friend of mine back when in the early years, I've been married now for 32 years, but before I was married, this mentor that I had said, Patrick, love isn't looking into each other's eyes, it's looking in the same direction. So I never try to change somebody's, whether it be beliefs or outcomes. I mean, I want to find people that are moving in the same direction as me. So what I find is when you start doing things that you love to do that are healthy for you, that bring about a positive change in your own personal life, you'll find the relationships that will do the same thing. But if you're trying to create, or you're trying to fix somebody, or you're trying to change somebody, you know, that's not going to happen. I mean, it might happen, but I've never seen it really work out long term. So when you're in that mindfulness state, when you create the vibratory frequency of peace and calm and relaxation, you're going to be the anchoring force in that relationship. Don't look for somebody else to do it. You be the anchoring force of peace. You know, there are certain people, you just get around them and you go, I'm so relaxed around you. I can just tell you anything. I'm so comfortable. That's because that person has cultivated that. Now, they might not even have a practice. They might just naturally do it. But you can, with practice, create that kind of frequency around you, and you'll draw to yourself really great relationships.
What are some of the lesser-known health benefits of mindfulness?
I think the biggest thing is that you are actually inoculating yourself against stress. So think of it like our bodies work like a capacitor. Remember, my background's electronics at first. So a capacitor holds a charge and it discharges at a certain point. Well, we all have a discharge point. You know, some of us can hold a lot more stress and we don't discharge on people. But the example I give people is if you're driving down the road, you and I are driving down the road, Victor, and we're having a great time. We're talking about your successful show and everything, how it's going. And all of a sudden you look in the rearview mirror and you see red and blue flashing lights and you hear a siren. What immediately happens to you?
You get stressed.
Yeah, you get stressed. So you pull over because you think you did something wrong, but you were doing the speed limit. You know, it was a great day. Listen, we were having a great conversation, but that one disruption. Now, when that police officer goes around you because it wasn't you they were after, what happens?
You feel relaxed.
Right. You actually feel like you got away with something too, even though you didn't do anything in the first place. Because these are the tricks that our body gives us with our mind. You didn't do anything wrong in the first place, but the anchor to a police, like the police, whether you like them or not, we always want them if we're in trouble. We never want to see them if we're going 5 miles an hour over the speed limit. You know, so it's like these are all anchors, right? So when we start to use these anchors and we start to find out who's got control of our remote control is what I like to say. So we want to take back control of our remote control and bring about that calm and peace and not let other things cause us to react. We want to interact with life. And I think there's going to be a big shift that way.
Will the joining of technology and wellness mean a new future for mental health?
I think so. We have quite a few of our offices. We're very fortunate. We have 2,300 clinics in the U.S. using BrainTap, and quite a few of them are doing rehab work because when I was working at the Arizona Health Council, I also wrote the program for DUIs for the state of Arizona. So I have a background in addiction because of what happened with my father. And what we're finding is that addiction it's a more complex than just getting them off alcohol or getting them off their drug. You know, we've got to work them through a program so they start to think differently. And I think we have to accelerate that. And I think technology, if you can't get into the physiological state, that's where yoga comes in and different mindfulness practices, is you're going to set your body up. Your body gets into that vibratory frequency of rest and relaxation, that alpha theta state. Now you can accept these things in your mind, your brain. A lot of these imbalances are because the brain is not balanced, like anxiety, depression. We've linked those to the hemispheres of the brain not being coherent. These two hemispheres need to be coherent. If not, if they're off even a millisecond, we're talking about anxiety going through the roof. Because when you think a thought, Victor, that thought isn't like you go back to this control booth in your brain and that thought is totally assembled. That thought comes from 8 different places in your brain or more and has to be represented to you. Now, if those hemispheres aren't synchronized, the information comes in fragments and the brain then starts rewriting it or deletes it altogether. And then we have a bad memory, or we start to think we have a bad memory, when the reality is we all have a perfect memory. It's our recall system that needs to be improved. So I think technology, as we advance it, I think we have to be very careful. I don't think technology is going to do it for us. We already have the technology. We were built, we are incredible beings of really, one thing that a lot of people find strange, but the reality is science has proven now we are light beings. It's not a metaphysical concept. We actually share and produce biophotons, which means that we share information in the form of light. And there's been scientific article after scientific article that shows the dura of the body, or that flows, surrounds every bone, every structure of the body, is a way we signal through the body. Now, if light can do that, and now with light therapy, we're finding that light therapy is changing things like seasonal affective disorders, because we need the light, we need certain light frequencies from our sun, and we're only touching the tip of the iceberg. So I think we're going to see some advances that are going to blow people away, but it's still our body, our biological system is going to make the changes. I don't think we're going to have implants or something like that that's going to change us. I think we're going to learn to work with our environment at a much higher level.
We are going to do the glowing. My guest, Dr. Patrick Porter, he's the creator of BrainTap. Dr. Porter, one more time, please tell our listeners where they can find out more about you and your amazing work.
Yeah, they can go to BrainTap.com. Or if they want to go a little deeper, they can go to braintap.pro and they can get a copy of my book for 99 cents and a 15-day trial of our app, which they can start using right away. And they can keep the book whether they decide to move forward or not. And it's a full 230-page book that they can download and read on their personal device.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us and sharing this very, very special and important work.
Well, thank you for having me.
And thank you for joining us on Vox Novus. I'm Victor, the Voice Furman. Have a wonderful week.